one here, the rowdies one there, they kick the ball around. The rowdies one here, the rowdies one there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Olindo's, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
And welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks very much for joining us. First off, we want to give our best wishes and our thoughts and prayers out to all the people down in the southeast who are being impacted by former Hurricane Irma. Many of us have family and friends down in Florida and Georgia and that in South Carolina, etc. So we all wish them the best. Hopefully everything will be getting better as the days and weeks move along. We have a lot to talk about tonight on the U.S. soccer front. Our men's and women's national teams, the women are in action this week against New Zealand, and of course the men in World Cup qualifying, plus the impending changes to U.S. pro soccer leagues. It's certainly going to be an impact to the sport in the next couple of years. We're going to get all the information on this. Michael Lewis will be on for the first half hour of our show with all this U.S. soccer news to talk about that. At 7 o'clock, we're very happy to have with us for the first time as our Rhinos guest, the latest local product to play for his hometown team, Penfield native Dan Lynn, the keeper for the Rochester Rhinos. And at 7:15 or so, Dick Howard will be on. We'll preview the start of the UEFA Champions League. The group stage starts tomorrow, and boy, there are some mouth-watering matchups coming up in the group stage. We'll talk about all that with Dick Howard, but right now let's bring in Joe Sirianni. And Joe, I know you've got your USL hat on, but I know your heart is with the name North American Soccer League, but I think there's a lot of changes going to be coming very soon.
Well, you know, Andrew, that if you look really at the North American Soccer League, the infancy of soccer in the United States, and, you know, what it was, how much they brought to United States soccer, it kind of hurts and now pains me to see, you know, the possible demise of the league once again. The name, it's something that we all remember. Most of the people that are my age or younger, like you, remember the North American Soccer League and what they were able to do in those years that soccer really exploded in America. And, you know, we'll see what happened. Certainly, the name is synonymous to greatness. And I hope that it will remain their way for the long term and however they can make it exist. Based upon the conversation that we had off the air, you and I, you're a pessimist that they're not going to exist, that they're going to go down the drain. I'm hopeful in the other way because, you know, I identify with that. I identify with the beautiful ball that they had the stars.
You still have some, right, down in your basement?
One that I keep for remembrance. And, of course, it brings back Pelé, Beckenbauer, all the people that we have seen in those days.
That played still right here in Rochester.
They played here in Rochester. So I for one, I'm hopeful, but, you know, reality is what it is. So
that's right. Well, let's wait no further. Let's bring in Michael Lewis to talk about all of this with the situation with U.S. Pro Soccer. Part one of the U.S. Soccer Report brought to you by Allstate Insurance and local agent Edso Scolo. Two locations in Rochester, Country Club Plaza in East Rochester and the 12 Corners in Brighton. Go to ScoloInsuranceAgencies.com for more information. Scolo spelled S-C-O-L-L-O. And Michael, boy, I'm sure you've got so many things going on with Front Row Soccer, with the Major League Soccer or the U.S. national teams, and now this big story coming out regarding the demise or potential demise of North American Soccer League. I don't know how you're keeping up with all of it.
I don't know either, quite frankly. I just have to focus on what's happening in front of you. It seems like when I'm out either covering a game or doing errands, something breaks. And I've learned when I'm, covering a high school game, I bring my computer with me because I never know when I'm going to have to update a story or write a story, even if it's a short one. But, I'll tell you this in general, I have never seen so much soccer news in my life, not just including what's happening with the NASL and the national team, but every day there seems to be another big story, either nationally or locally. But I guess that's what we all wished for, wasn't it?
Maybe you all live in interesting times, that's for sure. But let's talk about what's happened. For those of you who do not know, there was a report that came out late last week, and this has not been made official yet as far as I know. We'll ask Michael about it in a second. But U.S. Soccer is withdrawing Division II sanctioning for the North American Soccer League, which basically means they're pushing them down to Division III. And the main reason is because of the number of teams in the league. They simply do not have enough teams to qualify for Division II status. They are at 8 teams right now. They're bringing in 2 more, but likely the San Francisco Deltas are probably going to fold after one season because they're drawing peanuts out in San Francisco. Certainly the Cosmos have a lot of money and prestige riding on this. The Cosmos owner saying he's going to try to get U.S. Soccer to reverse the decision. But, Michael, I can't see how they can do that. If U.S. Soccer demands at least 12 teams in a Division II, and North American Soccer doesn't have 12 teams, and doesn't look like they're going to have 12 teams anytime soon, this is a done deal, I think.
It's going to be very difficult, I think, to convince U.S. Soccer to at least look away for a year because rules are rules, and you want 12 teams, that's the way it should be. And I, for the life of me, I just don't understand how Rocco Camiso or anyone else could pull that off. You did mention earlier that it was reported. I have confirmed that report with three sources. It is true. Even though it might not have been officially announced yet, U.S. Soccer will not be giving Division II sanctions to the NASL at the moment. There was another report saying that U.S. Soccer might revisit this, but I have not been able to confirm that. In other words, revisit it and maybe say, okay, let's look at it again. But I'm just going with the information that I have. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, so throw the next question at me.
Mike, maybe you can clarify, because a couple weeks ago, I was talking to one of the Rhinos officials, and they told me that they were official at the second division, that USL was the second division officially. Are you telling me that this is not official yet?
Well, it might be officially unofficial or unofficially official in that just because they haven't made an announcement doesn't mean they haven't made, the U.S. Soccer Board of Directors haven't made up their minds. I just don't think it just hasn't been announced yet to the public. But, saying all of that, I think the USL has some work to do because I think there's a disparity between the clubs. You've got MLS clubs that are obviously run by a parent organization, and then you've got, as I like to call them, real clubs that are privately owned. And those are like apples and oranges that you're throwing together to a certain extent. Yes, you've got good soccer players on both teams, but two entirely different concepts there. And they're going to have to figure out, even beyond a Western and Eastern Conference, maybe what's a USL 1 and what's a USL 2. And this isn't anything new. This has been talked about. And I believe that there should be, I'd like to see a separate league, one for privately owned teams like the Rochester Rhinos, assuming they survive and come back in 2018, and another division, which would probably be apropos, the third division, more or less, for MLS or MLS-run teams. That's easier said than done, but that, I think, would be the most fairest way to do things.
Mike, pertaining to the Rhinos, I was told unofficially, of course, by a source, and even the Rhinos, they're going to exist. They might not be in Rochester, but they're still going to exist some other place. So when we talk about the
Rhinos, this is unofficial, by the way.
Yeah, unofficial. Okay.
I didn't hear this.
So that's the whole. That's what really. If anything happened to the demise of the Rhinos, then it's going to happen in Rochester, maybe, but not anywhere else. As they're going to move somewhere else, because the financial situation in Rochester and how many people they draw. So one of the things that really it's important is that the people that listen to this show show up for the rest of the games at the Rhinos, because that depends a lot on whether we're going to have soccer in Rochester or not. That's the reality, and people need to know that.
I better ask you what your source is, because I haven't heard anything about that myself. I mean,
we'll have to tell you off the air.
Okay, tell me. Don't tell me on the air, but yeah. Obviously, Michael, there's so much going on. You mentioned Division III as well, because USL is going to supposedly start a Division III league, not in 2018, but 2019. Then there's also a league called the NISA, which is supposed to start as a Division III league next year, who are affiliated with the North American Soccer League. So, I mean, there is no Division III right now in this country, and there needs to be that. And I'm thinking more it might be along the lines of financial concerns and how much teams can draw versus where they're located and things like that. Because once you get to Division III, Division IV, you want to have the teams as close as possible to eliminate long travel costs. So what are your thoughts on that?
No, exactly. I mean, way, way back in 1988 when the U.S. Soccer was awarded the rights to host the 1994 World Cup, they had a plan, and I got to find that plan. It's in my, it's in one of my bins here, of putting together a professional Division I league, and if memory serves me correctly, would be as many as 32 teams. There would be a second division, which would be more regionally, which would be, I believe, 64 teams. And then a third and fourth division, really broken down regionally, not just in region 1, 2, 3, 4, but upstate New York league, let's say, of division 3 and or 4 teams. So, like you said, you wouldn't have to do very much traveling and cut down the travel costs, except for perhaps playoffs and, of course, the championship game. Because it always keeps coming back to money, and the people with deeper pockets, at least in the beginning, will be able to own a second or a division team. And let's face it, in the history of the USL, teams have moved from the USL to the PDL because owners either ran out of money or they wanted to lose less money. So instead of paying players in the USL, they went through the amateur route in the PDL. So there has been some relegation, but it was actually self-relegation because of a different financial model for the club. I know I'm getting a little off on the tangent there, but just trying to give a little background of second, third, and fourth division in this country.
This
is similar to Europe thing. You got A, B, C, D, and Primavera, and nearly they got, and then that's the progression of soccer and soccer players, because they start at the amateur thing, so to speak, and then they advance according to their talent.
And the NPSL, where the Lancers play, it is regional. The furthest they have to go is Dayton, which is, a six-hour drive. So the division they play, that's all they play is in their division, Buffalo, Syracuse, Erie, Cleveland, and Dayton. So, but, Michael, for the NASL, I mean, we've Doing some reading, it looks like, you know, North Carolina FC, which is the team, of course, affiliated with the former Western New York Flash, they are almost a certainty to go to the USL. They've already making the plans, I guess, and Indy 11, I guess, has also had some thoughts on that. I don't think the Cosmos or Miami FC are interested in going to the USL, which would be sad because I think they could do very well there. And then the other teams, I mean, it's like San Francisco, they're probably gone. FC Edmonton will probably go to the new Canadian First Division, which is really Second Division in Canada. And then you got Puerto Rico, who, you know, who knows about what kind of people they're drawing. They've tried in the USL before and that failed. And Jacksonville Armada, another team that doesn't draw very well. So I think probably just North Carolina FC, maybe Indy 11 would maybe make the move over to the USL if the NASL goes under. What do you think?
That very well could happen. I think one reason why some teams don't want to go to the USL is there is animosity between some owners and leadership of the NASL with the USL. And even though on paper it might look like a good fit, there's nothing worse than having a bad relationship for whatever reason off the field that will not even begin talks about the teams going over. Your guess is as good as mine about what's going to happen, for example, with the New York Cosmos. When Rocco Camiso, the owner of the team, put out a statement last week, he said he was going to fight it as much as he can. The decision was unfair and arbitrary. But the one question we wanted to have answered, which wasn't in this two- or three-paragraph statement, was, are you returning next year if the Cosmos become a third-division club? And that was not answered. He just said that all the team is going to do is work hard, fight hard for the rest of the 2017 season. Now, I'm not trying to read into any tea leaves, but that doesn't sound very optimistic for 2018 at this juncture, unless there is a dangling part four or fourth paragraph out there they want to throw out sometime. But it doesn't look, at this juncture, promising for the Cosmos.
Well, there's certainly a lot to talk about this. I mean, USL could have upwards of potentially 40 teams next year. We got three new teams coming in, potentially DC United, and if most of the USL or the NASL teams come in, we could have a massive league next year in the USL, which I think would be great. Honestly, you have two basically East and West, two separate leagues almost, as it should be. As you mentioned, Michael, with the plan that U.S. Soccer had originally, so. We're going to take a break now. We're going to bring Michael back for another segment. We're going to talk about the U.S. men's and women's national teams. Of course, the men fighting for the World Cup. And the women are in action this week against New Zealand with former West New York Flash captain Abby Ersig playing for the Football Ferns of New Zealand. We'll be back with Michael Lewis here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
As soon as you are able, woman, I am willing to make the break that we are on the brink of. My cup is on the table. My love is feeling. Waiting here for you to take and drink of. So if you're tired of the same old story, oh, turn some pages. I'll be here when you are ready to roll with the changes.
Yeah. Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 15 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi-Lai Paul Plaza is the place to start. Locally owned with over 25 years in business, Claridge Custom Designs and builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality. And the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClarideDesignCenter.com.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
The Rochester Rhinos continue their push for the playoffs this Saturday, taking on the host Pittsburgh Riverhounds starting at 7 p.m. If you can't make the trip, go to rhinosoccer.com to find out how to watch the match live online. The Rochester Rhinos are back at Capelli Sports Stadium Saturday, September 30th at 6.05 p.m., facing the USL East leaders, Louisville City FC. It's Oktoberfest with beer tasting, Oktoberfest games, and a live band. Get your tickets by calling 454-KICK or go to rhinosoccer.com. Come and support your Rhinos as they look to regain the USL Championship. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcar Sirianni back with Michael Lewis, part two of the U.S. Soccer Report, brought to you by the newly renamed Claridge Decorating Center, formerly Claridge Design Center, located at 3240 Chi-Lai Avenue in Chi-Lai. Number to call is 889-5800, and the new website is ClaridgeDecoratingCenter.com, and center spelled the Canadian way or the British way, C-E-N-T-R-E. And Joyce, you had something you wanted to say about that.
We want to wish the Soccer Kick of the Grass. I want to wish Patty Iacovangelo, a speedy recovery. I know that she had a couple misfortune with her foot. So we hope that she feels better soon to be back at work and do what she does best, trying to make money for the Claridge house.
That's right, and if you want a new bathroom, new kitchen, remodel your house, definitely call Claridge Design Center, 889-5800. So back with Michael Lewis, and Michael, thank goodness for Bobby Wood. He saved the day for the U.S. national team with an 85th-minute goal against Honduras, and that point may be the most important point that the U.S. has earned to this point in the hex, even more than the Mexico match, because if the U.S. had lost that match to Honduras, they would be in big, big trouble. But now it comes down to October 6th against Panama and Orlando. If they win that match, they should be in the World Cup.
Yes, they should. Russell, the Honduras match, one thing about points in the CONCACAF hex or even World Cup qualifying, when you get a tie on the road, you're not just accruing a point for yourself, but you're denying two other points to your opponent. And especially in this juncture where the U.S. Was so close to Honduras in the standings, it would have been a disaster if Honduras gets all three and the U.S. got nothing. Not a very, very well-played match by the U.S., but to me, in World Cup qualifying, they don't give out points for pretty soccer, beautiful soccer. It's just, surviving and surviving to play another day, and that's what it's all about. Panama, yes, the U.S. needs a victory there. Simple as that. They could still get in with a draw, but I don't like to, they're on the edge. And when I say they, everyone from the coach all the way to the 23rd player, they've got to figure out a way to get 6 points out of their last two matches to make it, quote-unquote, easier. I won't say easy, but easier to book a spot. And even in Trinidad, I know Trinidad is in dead last in the hex, but nothing is easy in CONCACAF soccer when you're playing in different climates, different stadiums, different time zones. So I've never taken anything for granted in CONCACAF, whether the U.S. has played at home or on the road.
Mike, yeah, Trinidad has an outside chance of getting in. Yeah, they've not been officially eliminated, so we'll see what happens there. But like you said, Panama and the U.S., Panama has 10 points, U.S. has 9. So a draw means Panama stays in front, but their final match, they host Costa Rica, not an easy match. And Honduras has to play both Costa Rica and Mexico in their last two matches. So they're probably on the outside looking in at this point. Go ahead, Joe.
My question to you is, what is wrong with the United States team, in your views?
There's just something lacking there, of cohesiveness. It's a mind bender, really. I mean, why? Yeah, I want to see the so-called leaders step up and lead. I want to see new players emerge. Back in the day when we had a Landon Donovan and Clint Dempsey in his prime, it just seemed like things took care of themselves. At the moment, we don't have players like that necessarily. Michael Bradley hasn't played up to his capability. With all due respect, remember, Christian Pulisic, I know we've made a big deal about him. I've written a lot about him, but he's 18 years old. He can't always bend steel with his bare feet all the time. He'll have his moments, good and bad, out there internationally. But, one thing that is kind of scary, and I wrote about this after the loss to Costa Rica, years ago, Philip Bondi, when we were both with the New York Daily News, Philip said that, there's going to come a time when the U.S. doesn't make the World Cup because we're not good enough. And you just wonder, is this the cycle when it happens after going 7 times to the World Cup? We take it for granted, unfortunately, and guess what? We just might not be good enough this time. Yes, we had a horrible start to the hex, and as we've all learned, one bad game at home could be a disaster for you. 2 bad games at home should bury a team, but because 3 teams from the hex book automatic berths in Russia next year, and the 4th team plays in a special playoff against a runner-up team from Asia. Man, this qualifying process is so forgiving. So the U.S., I feel like, is getting, if not a second chance, a second, maybe even a third chance, because you lose in Europe, you lose 2 home games in Europe, forget about it. You're probably not going to the World Cup. Here, the competition isn't as fierce. And let's face it, 4 out of 6, that's incredible. Really is, like I said, very forgiving.
One of the things that I think that all the other teams have gotten better, and the United States it's on a status quo. The other player, the other team had developed new player with the new attribute. And the United States, even though they got a younger team, they haven't got the quality player that they deserve.
Well, maybe, but I just think the Mexico and Costa Rica won games in the United States, which they haven't done in the past, and that's what's put us into big trouble, because in the past we've beaten Mexico and Costa Rica on our home soil. Like you said, we haven't lost twice at home in the World Cup, I think, for almost over 50 years, Michael, if I remember right? It
was 1958, which I was alive back then. I think Joe was alive. But I wasn't into soccer at the time. Joe might have been. He probably was.
Sure, yeah.
That's how long ago it was.
Yeah, I was alive.
Well, just for a quick notation, Michael mentioned the playoff. With the U.S., if they finish fourth, would play either Syria or Australia. Obviously, Australia will be a challenge just for the time difference and the travel. U.S. Syria would be a challenge for many political reasons, if not more than that. But anyway, before we go, let you go, Michael. U.S. women are in action on Friday against New Zealand. Be on ESPN2 at 10 o'clock from Commerce, Colorado, home of the Colorado Rapids. What are your thoughts on the matches? They play New Zealand next week as well.
You know, it's all about giving younger players a chance to show what they could do at the international level. I mean, New Zealand's a solid international side, definitely not one of the best in the world, but you want to give whoever's going to be the next goalkeeper for the U.S. national team a chance just to get experience after experience. Just being out there, even if Nahar or Campbell or Harris, they don't make a lot of saves, just being out there, it gets them to hopefully do a next level. And it's all about getting experience. The qualifying for the 2019 World Cup isn't in another year. It's a lot closer than we think. And I think Jill Ellis is being smart just by getting young players out there to get that experience. It would be nice to win. The U.S. should win playing at home. But to me, it's all about getting some of these players' feet wet or a little more wet.
Big hope sold back.
I don't think so. That's not going to happen. I'm more thinking, what about Caitlin Rowland from the former Western New York Flash? I think she should get a look, as well as Adriana French, who used to play for the Western New York Flash, now plays for Portland. But, Michael, we got to leave it there. We'll talk about MLS next week. We didn't touch on that at all, but we'll certainly talk about what's going on in Major League Soccer on next week's show. Thanks again for being with us for two segments, and we'll talk to you then.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Have a good week, huh?
And by the way, congratulations on being inducted into the Long Island Soccer and Football Hall of Fame, Michael. Yay!
Actually, it doesn't happen until next year, but we could talk about that. I appreciate the kind words. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. It's Michael Lewis here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. He just keeps getting inducted into Halls of Fame, I tell you. Kind of like Joe Sirianni. Everybody gets inducted into Halls of Fame. And so maybe a future Hall of Famer will be our guest next. He's the keeper for the Rochester Rhinos, a native of Penfield. Dan Lind will be with us here on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Right through the very heart of it, New York, New York.
Your local sports leader. You're listening to AM 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester, FM 92.1, W22 1CL Rochester, and WYSL1040.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great price.
St. Padre Pio Chapel, located at 141 Frank Domino Way in Gates, is a great place to visit for thought and reflection. The chapel is open daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you can have a tour of the chapel on request. To arrange for a tour, please call Pia Pelosi at 621-6703.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Coosh, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at Salvatore's.com and our hotline, 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
The Rochester Rhinos continue their push for the playoffs this Saturday, taking on the host Pittsburgh Riverhounds starting at 7 p.m. If you can't make the trip, go to rhinosoccer.com to find out how to watch the match live online. The Rochester Rhinos are back at Capelli Sports Stadium Saturday, September 30th at 6.05 p.m., facing the USL East leaders, Louisville City FC. It's Oktoberfest with beer tasting, Oktoberfest games, and a live band. Get your tickets by calling 454-KICK or go to rhinosoccer.com. Come and support your Rhinos as they look to regain the USL Championship. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcard Sirianni having a lot of discussion off air about the Champions League for Barcelona and Juventus. And we'll talk about that with Dick Howard in our final segment. But right now, very happy to be joined by the goalkeeper for the Rochester Rhinos, one of Rochester's own, a native of Penfield, played for Penfield High School, and very happy that he's getting a lot of starts with the Rhinos now. Dan Lynn joins us. Dan's appearance brought to you by the Rhinos. Rhinos' next home match is Saturday, September 30th against Louisville City, the top team in the USL East standings. 6:05 kickoff, 4:54 kick, or go to rhinosoccer.com. Dan, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome. It's been a long time coming. I'm glad we're having to have you on. It works out really well because you have some contacts with Pittsburgh, the city, and the college, and the team. We'll talk about that in a second. But obviously, we're very happy that you're getting time in goal for the Rhinos and playing. And every time we have not just your native on the team, it's always something very special. I want to ask you, who were you when you went to Rhinos games as a youth? Who were the guys that you look up to? Was it the goalkeepers like Pat Onstad and Scott Valla, or were there other players on the team that you were big fans of?
Watching the goalkeepers was definitely a big thrill growing up. The Rhinos have a huge history of developed goalkeepers, like you said, Onstad and Turkey. I know Melio was here for a little bit. Valla more recently. Going to the games, watching those guys play was a big part of my soccer education growing up.
Certainly, and you did a great job at Penfield High School with the Penfield Patriots and then on the University of Pittsburgh. But now you're in competition. You're fighting for a starting spot with Tomas Gomez, who's one of the top keepers in the U.S. over the past couple of seasons. How is that competition in practice, and how do you guys get along, and what's it like competing for the starting spot?
Oh, it's been really good. Tomas is a great goalkeeper. Kyle Morton is training with us as well. He's a very, very cool. And it's good for all of us to push each other, keep each other sharp, and, no matter who gets the call, if it's Kyle, I think we're all capable of getting wins. So it's good, healthy competition.
Absolutely. Just Dan, make sure to speak up a little bit because we're having a little trouble hearing you. But we caught okay. Most of that. But Joe, I know, is chomping at the bit to ask you a question.
One of the things that I want to ask you, you learned from the best. Of course, Onstad was one of the greatest goalkeepers, in my opinion, that we ever had, including Velo. And, with a lot of stature over here. But certainly, looking at the international and national, who's your favorite goalkeeper?
What's that? I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
Who's your favorite goalkeeper on the international games?
Gary, little technical difficulties here, unfortunately, with Dan. We'll try to get him pumped up a little bit, but Dan, I know that you have some great matches with the Rhinos, and Joe and I were up in the press box on Saturday, and that penalty, we were cringing because, you know, 99% of the time that foul was called outside of the box instead of a penalty, but unfortunately the referee decided to call a penalty. And I was wondering, I know you played with Steven Dos Santos a little bit. Did you think you knew where he was going to be taking the penalty when he took it against you?
We lost him.
I think we lost Dan. We'll try to get Dan back. Unfortunately, there's some bad connection here. But
well, let's talk about the penalty, you and I, because I don't.
We got him back.
Oh,
so
Dan, sorry about that. Call got canceled out.
That's okay. Things happen sometimes with technology. We were asking about the penalty in the game Saturday that, unfortunately, like I said, 99% of the time that foul is called outside the box, not as a penalty.
Yeah, that was tough.
It was very tough. But did you know, or do you think you knew where Steven was going to take that penalty, or did he sort of get you on the wrong foot?
Well, you know, Dos Santos, he was here last season, so, you know, I've seen him take many penalty kicks. I'm in training, and last season he would always go that way, the way that I dove. And I knew the game they played against St. Louis before us, he went to the goalkeeper's left and nearly had it saved, so I thought he was going to go back to what he normally does. So I think we were both trying to get in each other's head, and unfortunately he was right and I was wrong on this occasion.
No, I like what you did. I like you picked up the ball. You went to the spot. You tried to intimidate him in a way, or distract him. And he did the same thing to you. He picked up the ball, and
yeah,
he turned around. And you know, so
yeah, a little back
there
and forth.
Was a game that you
a little
played.
Back and forth.
I compliment you on that.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'll save it next time.
Well, yeah, definitely. But this coming Saturday, the Rhinos are in Pittsburgh against the Riverhounds, and you have a lot of ties to Pittsburgh. You went to school at the University of Pittsburgh. You played for the Riverhounds under 23 team. So
yep.
Obviously this is a big match for you personally. Now, do you know if you're going to be getting the start on Saturday, or is that still up in the air?
I'm not sure yet. But it definitely, you know, if I do get the chance to play, it'll be huge. Either way, it'll be good to be back down there. Like you said, I spent 4 years going to school at Pitt. Their goalkeeper coach right now was my coach in college, Hunter Gilstrap. So I have some connections. But, yeah, it would definitely be a big game, and it's an important game for us anyways in the standing. It would be a huge 3 points. So I'm really looking forward to getting back down there.
Yeah, Hunter Gilstrap, that name very familiar to a lot of Rhino fans, played
yeah.
in the league for many years and one of the best goalkeepers in the league. And certainly this is a big match. Pittsburgh was on a hot streak until they ran into Louisville on Saturday, but they've been
right.
playing very well as of late. And this will be one of the two matches against Pittsburgh down at Highmark Stadium in the next few weeks. So it's a big match. It's always tough down there. Pittsburgh's a very talented team, and they always play the Rhinos very tough, so it should be a great match.
Absolutely.
Well, Dan, we wish you the team all the best on Saturday in the match against Pittsburgh. We'll certainly be watching online. And, of course, Rhino fans, it's only a five-hour drive to Pittsburgh. If you've got nothing going on Saturday, take the trip down there. It's a beautiful stadium right on one of the rivers in Pittsburgh. And cheer the Rhinos on, but the Rhinos will be back on the 30th against Louisville for the next home match. So, Dan, thank you so much for being with us, and good luck on the weekend.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Good luck. Thanks, Dan. It's Dan Lynn of the Rochester Rhinos and native of Penfield. And, like I said, it's always great to see a Rochester native
doing well
on the Rhinos. He's certainly having a great season in goal. And I can't fault anybody on a penalty kick, but what are you going to do? It's part of the game.
He impressed me by how calm he was and how composed he was.
Yeah, certainly I think it's the sky's the limit for Dan Lynn. But up next, we're going to talk international soccer. The UEFA Champions League kicks off this week, and some big, big matches, not the least of which Barcelona hosting Juventus. We'll talk with Dick Howard about that next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm your unstable ceiling fan. If you push my button one more time, I'm gonna lose my blades. And if you got sold the wrong home insurance, the cost of fixing these windows could leave your head spinning. So get Allstate.
Call East Rochester Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo at 585-381-3530 today.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
The Rochester Rhinos continue their push for the playoffs this Saturday, taking on the host Pittsburgh Riverhounds starting at 7 p.m. If you can't make the trip, go to rhinosoccer.com to find out how to watch the match live online. The Rochester Rhinos are back at Capelli Sports Stadium Saturday, September 30th at 6:05 p.m., facing the USL East leaders, Louisville City FC. It's Oktoberfest with beer tasting, Oktoberfest games, and a live band. Get your tickets by calling 454-KICK or go to rhinosoccer.com. Come and support your Rhinos as they look to regain the USL Championship. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame, and a 2013 inductee into the Rochester Lancers Hall of Fame, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
An international report with Dick Howard brought to you by our title sponsor, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, located at 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates, right off the 390 Expressway. The interactive website is davidolivodmd.com. It's being updated, so check for the latest information. Or give the office a call at 328-3382 to make an appointment for a teeth cleaning or consultation. They'll take great care of you at Dr. Olivo Family Dentistry. Well, Dick, it's UEFA Champions League time, and people are waiting for it. But before we get to that, we got one score we want to mention from today, because we always keep up with the latest news. As West Ham won their first game of the season, and Huddersfield lost their first game. I was hoping they were going to go top of the table, but I guess it didn't happen. 2-0 win to West Ham, but good result for them.
Good result. Not a good result for Crystal Palace, unfortunately, and Frank de Boer, their manager. 77 days in charge, and now he's gone. So looks as though Roy Hodgson might be the candidate to fill in there. But early days, and we've already had one firing, so pressure mounts. But Andrew, geez, great matchups in Europe, isn't it? Six British challenges, Real Madrid trying to make it three in a row. It looks really good. A lot of people crying off sick this week.
That's certainly, and we're gonna go in reverse order, because the biggest group is Group H. It's the group of death. You've got three of the best teams in Europe, Borussia Dortmund with Christian Pulisic, the U.S. international, the champions Real Madrid, and Spurs, who were second in England last year. And the first match is going to be Spurs hosting Borussia Dortmund at Wembley. Unbelievable. What a group that is. And I can't wait to see November 1st when Spurs host Real Madrid and Cristiano Ronaldo. That stadium is going to be packed with 90,000
people. They haven't settled in yet, though. I'm sure White Hart Lane is a distant memory, I know, but they haven't been producing the goods at the new venue of Wembley Stadium. But they certainly need to get it against a very strong Borussia Dortmund team. And Real Madrid, geez, who would have thunk it? 1-1 against lowly Levante at the weekend. So if they want to make it three in a row, they better start putting the ball in the back of the net. They will do against Apoel, I think, from Nicosia.
Yeah, Apoel should be pretty easy pickings at home for Real Madrid. But, Dick, one of those three teams is not going to make the knockout stage, and it's just the way the draw worked out.
I would put my money on Borussia Dortmund and Real Madrid. I think Spurs will be certainly a contender, but I can't see them edging the other two out of the spots at the top in that particular group.
Well, they're going to have to win their matches at Wembley, and they've not done that over the past number of years. They've had a terrible record at Wembley, but they're going to have to get their points, because going into Dortmund and Bernabeu will be very difficult. And we'll see how that group goes. But the group I'm really interested in is Group G, because I think any of those four teams could get through. Yeah, Beşiktaş, of course, Bob Turgut can't wait to see his Turkish team in that group, with Monaco, the French champions, who, of course, have not the same team they were last year after all the players they lost. Porto, Portugal, always a tough team. And Red Bull Leipzig, the surprise team last year in the Bundesliga. A lot of young players. And that group is very, very interesting, I think, Dick.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you there. You know, you've got some interesting matchups, and I'm looking closely at Beşiktaş, because Kiba Hutchinson, one of our star national team players, plays for Beşiktaş, and had a good chat with him the other week before the game against Jamaica, and he's really enjoying it. He says the passions are very high in Istanbul when they play in Europe, so it will not be an easy venue to visit and get a result. Monaco, beaten 4-0 by Nice at the weekend, obviously suffering a little bit from all the departures. And Porto and Leipzig, well, yeah, it's going to be a really close group, Group G.
That's right, and Monaco losing, of course, it was Mr. Balotelli, who maybe he'll get a call back to the national team. Who knows, Dick?
Know.
All right, but Joe, Group F, Joe, has got Napoli, and that's another very tough group. Manchester City, Shakhtar Donetsk is a very, very strong team. Feyenoord, I think, will bring up the bottom. But Napoli, they got a tough one to start against Donetsk in Ukraine.
Napoli right now is a very good team. It's got a lot of a lot of good players. They had a scare this week because they were losing 1-0, but they came up and they scored 4 goals right after that, and they just demolished the other team. It just seems that their midfield is very, very good. Their forward are great, and they got a good goalkeeper as well. So,
I pick Manchester City and Napoli to go through from that group, and certainly Manchester City, the most expensive squad in football, £775 million.
Wow.
Worth of play, so they better get some results under Pep Guardiola.
They've had troubles.
But no, I don't think there'll be any problems there for City and Napoli.
We'll see what happens. That group may have the best soccer to watch, because there's some very talented, very skillful teams. You know, Donetsk has got a lot of Brazilian influence. Napoli's a very skillful team. Manchester City has some great players. That's a great group. Group E, I think, is a pretty. I think that one's pretty much a walk for Liverpool and Sevilla. I think they're two very strong teams. Maribor out of Slovenia and Spartak Moscow. I don't think they're going to be much of a challenge for Liverpool and Sevilla, Dick. And even though Liverpool got their shirts handed to them over the weekend by Manchester City, I think there's probably still the favorites.
It won't be easy, against Sevilla and Anfield. They've got to get a result on Wednesday in that game, otherwise it could be very close. But no, if you're a betting man, you'd probably put your money on the Reds of Sevilla and Liverpool Football Club, that's for sure.
That's right. That's a big match on Wednesday, if you said. Then there's Group D, and Joe is already sweating bullets. the marquee matchup, Barcelona and Juventus from the Camp Nou Stadium. And, Joe, you're nervous, but Juve has scored 10 goals already this season in three matches, and that's unusual.
They scored 10 goals against, not very good teams, the lower bracket of the Italian soccer. Barcelona is going to be really the test. Depending on whether Chiellini is going to be fit to play, because he's the key to the whole defense there. And Dybala is playing very well right now. Higuain the same. So we'll see what happens. But, again, you're playing against Barcelona, and you play a new stadium. So
yeah, Barcelona, they got a win at the weekend in the Catalan derby against Espanyol. But I don't think it's as strong a Barcelona team, guys, as in previous years. So there's a chance that Juve might get a good result in that game tomorrow. And certainly out of the group, you would pick Juve and Barcelona to progress. Although, having said that, Olympiacos and the Sporting Club of Portugal are both very strong teams, especially at home.
Yeah, I think Barcelona and Juventus are certainly the two favorites, but you never know. It might have a surprise. Then the group I'll be watching very closely, Group C, with C for Chelsea, top of the group, and Atletico Madrid. I'm sure there was no collusion putting those two teams together, considering the Diego Costa situation, but he wouldn't be playing either of these matches anyway. Even if he had gone to Atletico, he wouldn't have played against Chelsea because of the rules of the transfer. But Roma, you cannot count Roma out, even though they're not as strong as past years. But they'll still be very difficult at home at the Olympic Stadium.
The Roma has got a good chance to win because they got a good team this year, too. So they spent a lot of money. They bought a lot of new players. And, they got a good coach.
Well, Dick, what might happen in that group?
It's going to be a tough game. But how about this Karabakh team? Nobody talks about them. The pride of Azerbaijan, the nickname of the Horsemen. Will they create an upset against Chelsea? Unlikely, but... they've got Roma and Atletico to contend with in the remaining games. So I think the fact that they're at this stage is great for them, but it'll be very tough for them to progress given the quality of the opposition. Three-man race.
They could really be spoilers because that's a long, long trip to Azerbaijan, and they may get some points at home. I would not be at all surprised, but I think they're certainly the outsiders looking in. That's a very tough group, Group C. Group B, I think it's a cakewalk for Paris Saint-Germain and Bayern Munich, by far the two best teams in that. Anderlecht, I'd love to see Celtic do something, but I think they're probably fighting for third place with Anderlecht because PSG and Bayern are just so strong, and yeah. Those will be great
four
matches.
Four teams with great traditions. I remember, Anderlecht in the glory years in the 50s and 60s, but certainly if you're looking at teams to progress out of this group, although a lot of my Scottish friends will disagree, it has to be Bayern and Paris Saint-Germain, given all their purchases and a certain player by the name of Neymar.
Yes, that's sure.
I think it could create some exciting football, and none better than when they play at Celtic Park, Glasgow, tomorrow. That's going to be one game to watch.
That certainly will be. We'll tell you about the TV coverage in just a second. But finally, Group A, Manchester United, certainly the favorites in that group. But second place, Basel, Benfica, and CSKA Moscow. I think any of those three could potentially get into second place, depending, again, how things work out. But Man U, I think the clear favorites in that group. They'll host Basel in their first match tomorrow.
Yeah, they've had some great games against Benfica over the years, Manchester United, and... I think that it could be those two teams that will progress. I think Basel are a little bit out of their depth. They're not as strong as in previous years, although CSKA Moscow, again, tough to beat at home, but on the road they're not as effective. But to progress, Man U and Benfica.
Yep. It's going to be one of the best Champions League group stages, I think, in recent memory. Just so many great teams and so many great matchups. So tomorrow it's Manchester United, Basel, Fox Sports 1, Barcelona, Juventus, Fox Sports 2. And then on Wednesday it is Real Madrid and Apoel on Fox Sports 1. Fox Sports 2 has Tottenham Hotspur against Borussia Dortmund from Wembley. And, Dick, lest we forget, Sunday, Chelsea, Arsenal, and Man U, Everton are the two Sunday games. Boy, I'm not going to be moving out of my chair on Sunday.
It's great, all these games. Thank goodness there are PVRs when you can tape games that are on at the same time, because there's so many good games that you can see this week. It's a very useful accessory to have if you're a fan of the World's game.
Dick, thanks so much for being with us as always. We'll talk more about the results on next week's show.
Okay, guys, and forza Juve, Joe.
Yeah, forza Juve. Thank you, Dick, and may the Lord bless Juve.
I'm looking
thanks
forward
a lot,
to it.
Dick.
Dick, ciao, guys.
Dick Howard here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. You're here, Dick, with the International Report every week, as with Michael on the U.S. Soccer Report. Also, thanks to Dan Lynn from the Rochester Rhinos, Blaise Bourgeois and the Rhinos staff for helping us out with the show tonight. The Rhinos are at Pittsburgh on Saturday at 7 o'clock. Home on September 30th against Louisville City, 454 Kick. Go to rhinosoccer.com for tickets. This has been Andrew Battisti, Joe Sirianni, and Bob D'Angelo in the control room at WYSL. Be with us again next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Want to note that.
Good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Olindo's, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.